some things that is not the revealed will of God. We have what you call the revealed will of God. What do you think is the revealed will of God? Come here.
What is in the Word of God?
I need to come off. All right. Revealed Word of God. Whatever is revealed in here. Amen. I said whatever is revealed in here. Old and New Testament. Rather, this here is Old and New Testament, right? Whatever is revealed in the Bible is a revealed Word of God. But there are some things that in the Word of God it is not revealed. For example, is there anywhere in the Bible said thou shalt not smoke? Huh? So how you deal with that? Well, there are those things like those we're gonna discuss, right? To find out whether you know if smoking is right or wrong. Right? And those things that are not revealed, we have what we call principle in the Word of God that will help us to make a right decision in relation to those things. Amen? So let's pray. I'm going to ask Pastor Adam to come and pray for us. Pray a special prayer today. And pray for the Word that God will help us. Hallelujah. One of these days before you go back, God's going to hear him minister.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you this morning, give you thanks and praise for what has already transpired. We thank you for saving us and for keeping part with each one of us. And I pray, God, even as we will sit and listen to the Word of God, you'll touch your manservant, anoint him, O God, afresh, that whatever comes out from his lips, it will be directly from you, dear God. I pray your Holy Spirit will saturate every heart and life. May we have firm attention to what will be said today and apply them to our own hearts and lives. That, Lord, we'll be able to help one another. We'll be able, oh God, to tell someone of the goodness of God and even to bring them to the foot of the cross. So take control of what will be said and done and bless each one. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Adam. So now I would like everybody that's in church today to listen to this message because it's important. Some things are not revealed and we need to know whether these things are right or wrong. Amen? Are you with me? We need to know whether these things are right or wrong. And so I'm going to give you principles from the Word of God so you can know whether it's right or it's wrong. So everybody in church listening, the people at the back, praise the Lord, everybody in front, everybody listen. Hallelujah. Now, how would you know if something is right or wrong? How would you know if something is right or is wrong? Is it right for me to wear a suit?
Yes. Yes.
It's not right nor wrong. Yes,
neither. It's neither right nor wrong, right? You know, Lango, it was a big thing like in Guyana. If you didn't dress in a certain way, isn't that so?
Dress code.
You had what you call a dress code. And probably if you didn't dress the car how they specify you should drive it, like it was a sin. You know, Lango in Guyana, Q-Tex and those kind of things and lipsticks and that was an issue.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
So you need to determine now what is right from what is wrong. Good? And if you're not careful, you can fall under something called condemnation. Not even knowing whether this thing is right or wrong. Good? So how would you know if something is right or wrong? How?
If it's not according to the Word of God.
All right. There's a revealer. All right. In order for you and me to know if something is right or wrong, we must have laws governing us. Isn't that so? There must be laws governing us. And if we obey the laws, and not all laws do, we know that we are doing right. If we disobey the law, we know that we're doing wrong. Or, for example, Brother World was by this stoplight. Right? It come on red. According to the law of the land, if Brother Oral had drive past the red light, what would have happened? He'd broken the law, right? And he could have been charged for it. But do you know, on some occasion, if there's an emergency and a fire wheel coming in the red light, they could board the red light?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
It all depends upon the situation, right? Isn't that so? But according to the Bible, in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, it tells us, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created how many things? All things. And for thy pleasure they are and were created." In other words, God is creator of everything. Do you agree with me there?
Yes.
Everything that he made, he created. So seeing that he created it, he has a right to rule over it. Amen?
Yes.
He has a right. So Psalm 103:19 tells us, "The Lord has prepared his throne in his heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all." So because, listen, the true ruler of this world is Almighty God. He made everything, you have a right to rule over it. You know, even Satan can't touch you unless God gives him permission. Check the book of Job. If you're serving God, Satan can't touch you unless God gives him permission to touch you.
Amen.
It's biblical. And God will give him, if God gives him permission to test you, "When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Now, to everything he has created, he has laws governing them. To the universe, you have what you call fixed laws governing it. Suppose the sun should decide, if the sun could reason, says, "I don't want to be in that position, I want to come a little lower. What do we think will happen to the earth?"
Barbecue.
Barbecue, right? So you see, everything has what you call, God made the universe, he put fixed laws, right? And everything are so obedient to the laws of God in the universe. As to man, God has given to mankind laws also. Do you know that? The Bible tells us what? The law of the Lord is what? Perfect. Converting the soul. So there's laws governing us human beings. The laws of the Lord. If we human beings obey those laws, we are blessed. But if we disobey those laws, we are punished. Now, when they make the traffic law, you think it's for bad or good? What do you think?
Right.
It's for good, isn't that so? Yeah. A lot of people, if they didn't have no traffic law, you're doing what you want to do. What happened?
Right.
How would you like to live in a country where there's no laws? Everybody do what they feel like doing. Huh? That would have been chaos. So when God gives us law, you think God gives us law just because he don't like us? Because he loves us, he gives us law to help us and to protect us.
Amen.
When God tells you not to do something, right? When God tells you not to do something, you obey him, it's for your own good. It's for your good, it's for my good, it's for our good. So God has the laws governing us. And if we obey those laws, he blesses us. If we disobey those laws, we are punished for doing so. Being a God who has given us law, he then becomes our judge. Abraham, speaking to God in Genesis 18:25, says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" So God is his creator. He has a right to rule over his creation. He's creator, he's ruler, and he's judge. What the Bible tells us in Romans 14:12, "So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." And I emphasize this. Every one of us must give an account to who?
God.
To God. Not to the pastor, not to the church, not to any human being. Every one of us will have to give an account to God. So he's creator, he's ruler, and he's judge. And we'll have to give an account to God for our lives and our service. When you think we stand before God, how do you think he's going to judge us? According to his? He must have laws to judge us, isn't that so?
Yes.
So he's going to judge us. And where the Bible says, and the books were open. I believe one of the books that was open, there is the book of life, right? And the books were open. One of the books available will be the Bible. And God will judge us according to the knowledge of the Bible that we have. And another one might be the where, you know, where all the things that we have done. The books, the whole case. One will be the Bible, and one will be your autobiography. Everything that you ever done will be there. So, it's very important that we know the law of the Lord, and not only know it, but practice it. Now, what is the law of the Lord? What is the law of the Lord? What is the law of the Lord? Could we say the law of the Lord is the word of God?
Yes, yes.
Right? Matthew 4:4, man shall not what? Live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. James 1:22 tells us, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, but deceiving your own self. So it's important to come to know the law. You think if you're driving on the road, if you're driving on the road, now before you can drive on the road, right? You first go and get theoretical. Now, in other words, you go to class. It's not so they tell you what is what and what is not what. Then you do the practical also.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So suppose now you're driving on the road, you burst a stoplight. And then you tell, but sir, officer, I didn't know, you know, you shouldn't board the red light. You think you can accept that?
No.
Why do you think you went to get the theory?
Yeah.
Huh? So you have to know, it's that you should know, right? So there's no excuse. But God is a good God, you know, sometimes we do too wrong. Oh God, I didn't know. He's sorry to understand. But now that you know, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. Give it to sin, right? So when God reveals his will to us, he expects us to do it, right?
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
So how can we come to know? If you want to know the laws governing the road, then you got to read the books in relation to that. Amen?
Amen?
So if you want to know the laws of the Lord, how do you think you will become knowledgeable of the law of the Lord or the word of God? How do you become knowledgeable of it?
Read
it. Definitely. 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul writing to Timothy said, till I come, give attendance to reading, that is the word of God. So one, you read it. And we need to study the Bible also, isn't that so?
Amen.
There's a scripture that says, study to show yourself approved unto God. If you want to apply it here. And this is taken from 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. So if you want to use it in this context, we're to study to show what? Ourself approved unto God. Then we should not only read it and study it. Should we listen to it being preached and taught? Huh? What Jesus said, go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Why you preach the gospel? So that people can hear it, right? And become knowledgeable of it. Amen? And those who believe it, you know, the gospel is something very simple. Those who believe, they're going to be saved. And those who don't believe, what happened to them?
Yes.
They'll be damned. We don't have to. You think if I could afford people to serve the Lord, this church would afford. I don't get forced by the coming serve God. Amen? You can't command people, you can't force people to serve the Lord. The Bible says you got to choose in this day whom you will serve. Amen?
Amen.
Now, become knowledgeable only. Listen to the word. That's why you see when you come to church, you need to listen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then, not only by preaching, but teaching. Going there from teach all nations. Didn't you say that? Why you think he teaching? Why you think we have to go and teach? So people can become knowledgeable of what the word says. So there got some people that be very knowledgeable, you know, where the word of God is concerned. You don't know Bible to them. They went to Bible school and they have got their doctorate and they have their MA and BA and whatever. Now it's good to have knowledge. And in these days and time, I tell you, we have so much advantage in these days and time when knowledge is concerned. I have a phone, an ordinary phone, a smartphone. I ain't got the iPhone, right? The smartphone. I got the smartphone. And do you know how many scriptures you can get? How much Bible, maybe, virgin you can get when you phone? So this morning I was excited to put the earphone in and listening to the Bible. Listening to it. And they got the dramatized one, right? So when Noah was in the ark, he sheep bleating and I said, something real good. So you become knowledgeable of the word by reading it, by studying it, and by listening to it being preach and taught. Now, after you become knowledgeable of the word of God, what should you do? Alright, first thing you need to do is to believe it. Many people have a lot of knowledge of the word of God, but after they believe it, no? After they believe the word of God. Some of them might be studied, maybe might study just for argument's sake. So after we come, we should believe it. In the book of St. John 20:31, the one tells us, but these are written, that is the word of God, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Mark 16:15-16, preach the gospel to every creature. He that what? Believe and is baptized shall be saved. So after you hear the word of God, after you read it, after you read it, you study it, you're listening to it being preached and taught, then you need to believe it. After believing it, you need to do something else. You need to confess it. Romans 10:9-10 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has risen from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is what? Made unto salvation. So you read the word, you study the word, you listen to it being preached and taught, you believe it, you confess it. Mark 11:23 tells us. Anybody know? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Right? Confession. So let's go back again. In order to become knowledgeable of the word, you must what? Read it. And the word of God tells us to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what the word says? If that applies there, we need to study. We know that to become knowledgeable, we need to read and we need to study. But we can listen also, pick up by hearing and hearing the word of God. Read, study, listen to the word of God, preach and talk. Then we need to believe it. We need to confess it. But you think that, and you think that's all we need to do? How many people say, I believe. Do you know, I think the scripture reference, I think even the devil believe and they tremble. Huh? You think Satan is a believer? You think he believe in God?
Yes.
You think Satan believe in God?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yes, I
do. You got to believe in God. Who made him? Not God made him. Huh? So, believing is great. Confessing is great. But there's something, not ingredients that is needed to make the word of God work for us. You need to believe it. You need to confess it. And what's the next one? Everybody should know this one. Huh? Act upon it. All right. Let me use a simple illustration. Let's say you're not feeling well. You're sick. All right. You go to the doctor and you got a certain kind of sickness. Say, listen, I want you to take this tablet 1-3 times a day. Doctor, I believe that this thing will help, doctor. You come and you tell your relative or friend, say, well, the doctor, I believe this thing will help me. I confess, listen to what this thing will help me, right? And you put the thing on one of your table and get it there. And one day passing, and you're telling them, listen, I believe this thing will help me. And I confess this thing will help me. You think that will help you? Until it starts taking this tablet, right? How maybe? Generally speaking, those of us who wanted to go on a diet plan, right? We get the diet, so yes, this thing will work for me, right? And we start off great. After a couple of months, maybe it got to be normal again. Okay. Does that what happened to us?
Yep.
or maybe it's only me alone, probably. I think probably. yes, I rather something you hear about certain things, say, yes, this is it. And you start out real great.
Mm-hmm.
And after that time. But in order for the tablet to work, you have not only believe in it and confess it ahead, you gotta use it. So for the word of God to work for you, you need to believe it, you need to confess it, and you need to act upon it. Oh, what the Bible tells us, but be doers of the word. And not hearers. How many of you are hearers of the word? Huh? God hearers too. You know Bible, they can quote Bible, so to speak, to you. But they don't practice it. Look around in church circle, which sometimes embarrassing to the Christian, to the Christian faith. I heard somebody was saying, we're talking about homosexuals.
Right.
Instead, you ever hear about a Muslim homosexual priest? You ever hear about a Muslim priest being a homosexual? You don't hear things like that. You ever hear about the Hindu priest being a homosexual? You don't hear about the Hindu priest being a homosexual. The only place of covenant is one community, the Christian church, right? Huh? So we know, you shall know the truth, and the what? Truth shall set you free. So when we know the truth, you see, if we know the master's will and do it or not, we shall be what? Beaten with many stripes. So after we believe, we need to act on the word of God. When we believe, confess, and act on the word of God, what would be the result? Now sometimes some people say, Pastor, pray for me. I believe in praying for people. A lady used to call me, still from California. From California. Well, of course, I know from Guyana. I must pray for me and my family. I have no problem to pray for your family. She said, you see what Bishop was saying? You see, when I did, and gave me Bible, I didn't come to the Mekin Road still in California. But you could get the greatest one to come and pray for you. Oh God, you know something? Oh God, I pray. You are blessed, this sister. Maybe if you put it in your pencil, they'll feel real good. And you shake them a little, you know? Real good. Bless them, Lord. Provide for them. Listen, blessing, don't come like that. Huh? And some people, they like maybe to follow when you pray for them. You know, probably you want to follow, right? Pushing you along the right. I remember praying for poor people. I just put my hand on the ground, bam, the girl fall down. Nope. I ain't got no problem with them. But I got some people, I don't know if it's true. Don't get self or wife to impress people. No, I told the Lord, move my hand up. You know, I ain't got no problem with them. But what I'm saying, in order for us to be blessed, something gotta happen. James 1:25 tells us, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law or the word of God that gives freedom and continue to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he'll be blessed in what he does. The man or woman who's going to be blessed is the person who practices the word.
Yes.
Amen? Then you see we got it up. I'm glad that we got up them two scriptures right on you. I hope sometime when you come, you read it over and over and over and over, right? This book of the law. Shall not what? In the right hand board there. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate therein, day and night, that thou mayest what? Observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way what? You want to be a prosperous person? And then thou shalt have what? Good success. It comes from this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate therein, night and day. So you get it not only ahead, but you got like you get it possibly into your spirit now because you're meditating. That dumb is absorbed to do. Not only to know it, but to do it, right? According to all the written, that dumb is absorbed to do according to all the written therein. Then. Not the person come and lay in the hands for you and pray for you. They could pray from now till next year. But if you don't do the word, how you expect to get blessed? Amen? For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what?
Good success.
Yes. Every one of us as a Christian is supposed to be successful.
Amen.
And true success is living to please God and working to please God. You know any other success is better than that?
Yes.
Now I can tell, I can tell everybody in this church, I can tell every one of you, all of you that are foolish and all of you that are wise. You want me to tell you? You want me to call you and tell you who you are?
No.
I won't do that. But I'll point you to this side of scripture, right? Look what this one says now. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So who's the wise man? Heareth the word of mine and doeth them. So are you doing the word of God? Come on, when you know the word of God, are you doing it? If you are, you are a wise person. I said you are a wise person.
Amen.
It goes on though. And everyone that hear these sayings of mine and do them not shall be like none to what? Don't say pastor call you foolish. The word of God is saying you're a foolish person, right? You're a foolish man which builds house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Amen? So the wise people are those who live by the word of God. The foolish people are those who don't live by the word of God. Yeah. That's very simple. Isn't that very simple?
Yes.
Now I know that there got some people listening and don't berate them and don't put them down. There got some people who with all their heart they want to obey God. I'm talking generally speaking. I rather believe they have some people like this who want to serve God, who want to do, they want to do it with all their heart, but they're failing. I said they're failing. They're deliberately doing it, you know. But they want to obey God, but they want to do what is right. Their heart is for God. You think Peter's heart was for the Lord?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
When he said, "Do all men deny thee? I will not." You think he meant it?
Yes.
You think he meant it? I believe he meant it with all his heart. But the time came when he was put to the test and he failed. And the Bible says he went out and what? He wept. Because he didn't really want to do it, he wept, he feel bad about it. And once you're feeling bad, that's a good sign. It's when you're doing the wrong thing, you don't feel bad. Something ain't right. Isn't that so? If you're doing wrong and you're feeling bad, something ain't right. So we that are in church, we have the knowledge, brothers. Sisters, we have the knowledge. We can believe that knowledge, confess that knowledge, act upon knowledge, and we'll be blessed, we'll be made prosperous and successful. Thank God. It's all about Him. Amen? And what I like about God, He's no respecter of person. You can be an ordinary person in the church, or you can be the minister, or whoever you be. Everybody got to live by the what? Word of God. Isn't that so? One standard for everybody. God ain't got double standard, you know. That's why the Bible said God is what? No respecter of person. It goes for everybody.
Amen.
And if you want to be blessed, and who wouldn't like to be blessed? Huh? But the greatest blessing of all is not in this life here. For in this world we have hope here of all men what? Most miserable. The greatest blessing is the one to come. To be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. One this songwriter wrote. Old time singing, you know, this world is not my home. Old time song, rather, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Now, what are some of the good blessings the Lord will bless us with? In relation to salvation, when we obey the word of God, would we be saved? Come on, would we be saved? If you obey the word of God in relation to salvation, would you be saved? Yeah, you have the blessing of salvation. By the way, what is the commandment that we are to live by in this dispensation, New Testament? Bring up this one on the screen. Because some people get confused. We got the Ten Commandments, praise God for that. And we have a lot of, but maybe about 500 commandments that the Jewish people have. Right? But God has given us two commandments to live by in this day and time. Right? All right. 1 John chapter 3 from verse 22 to 24. 1 John chapter 3 from verse 22. Good. And we will receive from Him whatever we ask because we obey Him and do those things that please Him. Maybe some. All right. And this is His commandment. Where is His commandment now? Go back to verse 22. Let me emphasize this. And we will receive from Him whatever we ask because we, King James will say, I think King James will say, because we keep His commandment. Right? And we will receive from Him whatever we ask because we obey Him and do the things that pleases Him. Right? Or we keep His commandment. And this is His commandment. We must believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. First commandment. When you come to know the Lord, did you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved?
Yes.
Come on, did you believe?
Yes.
Now, question, do you still believe on the Lord Jesus Christ now?
Yes.
You see, it's a presently, continuously something. Once we used to believe, but now we still believe, and we not need to always believe.
Amen?
Amen? Believe that God, He came and He died for us. He was buried, and on the third day, He arose again from the dead. Believe that with our hearts and confess it with our mouth. Jesus is Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I said, Jesus is Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Anywhere you go, you let people know that Jesus is your Lord. He runs things in your life.
Amen.
No devil ain't running things here. As a matter of fact, the Bible says you are bought with a price. Do you know that? For we were not redeemed with such corruptible things as silver and gold. It's because of Jesus we are what we are, and whatever we become, it's because of Jesus. Not because of any man, not because of an organization, it's because of Jesus, right?
Amen.
And that, there's a one commandment. And love one another, just as He command us. So love is in two parts. Matthew 22:37-38, from Matthew chapter 22, from the 37 to 40, somewhere around here. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? With all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is what? The first and greatest commandment. So if I ask you what means to love God, what would you tell me? What means to love God? He said to love God with all my heart. I'd rather be able to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Now, could you love somebody you don't know? So the love God means that you must know Him. The people that know their God shall be what? Strong and do not know about you, know God. Secondly, to love God means to have reverence and respect for His name. Do you respect the name of Jesus? You know, sometimes some people use the name of Jesus like frivolously. The name of Jesus, if you study the name of Jesus, I did a little study the name of Jesus. If you understand the power in Jesus' name, if you understand that name is a sacred name, is a holy name, and thou shalt not what? Take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Don't use the name of Jesus anyhow. Something happened to somebody, I'm just using it to tell you what the people say. Oh, Jesus. You know what you're saying?
You say the same Jesus.
You must have respect for that name.
Yes.
Amen? Yeah. Have reverence for that name. When you hear that name, I believe when the devil hears the name, they tremble.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that what Jesus is what? Lord, to the glory of God. That name is a precious, holy name. You know, among the Muslims, if like you kind of you can attack anything bad about their religion, they're ready to fight you. Huh? They're ready to stand up, they're ready to fight you and defend whatever. But thank God, we ain't got to do that. Our God is able to defend us. Amen? Amen? Our God is able to defend Himself too. So, to love God, even fast. To love God means to know Him, to have reverence and respect for Him. To love God means to put Him first in your life. Is God first in your life? Seek He what? First the kingdom of God. Then to love God means to obey Him. If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. To love God means that you're willing to sacrifice for Him. Are you willing to sacrifice anything for Jesus? Somebody will be singing, you know, you take the whole world, but give me Jesus. If that should become a reality, would you be willing to give up everything for Jesus?
Yes.
Well, anybody can answer that question for themselves, right? To love God means that you have confidence in Him. Let me be honest with you. I don't understand everything about God. I don't. But if God says something, I believe God, I trust God, I have confidence in God. Do you? Could Job understand what was happening to him? He had to put faith in God. Whatever God doing, even God know what He's doing. God can't wrong, amen? In the Bible says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. All things is working out together for good because what you love God and call upon you. Lord, they don't understand what's going on here. You love God, you call upon, then God will work with everything for your good too. Can you imagine Joseph? Lord, like some Christians, you know, they might say, when I was unsaved, these things never used to happen to me. Now that I'm a Christian, these things happening to me. Why do you think it happening? Once when the devil had you before, he didn't have to fight you. He didn't have to tempt you. He didn't have to do what. Now we don't have you trying properly to get you back where you were. So that's where you're going through. All them things where you're going through.
Amen.
All those who will live godly shall suffer persecution. Amen. And God wants you to put your confidence and faith. All you understand and say, God, I trust. Me understand what you mean. I'm going to be honest with you, God. Me understand. You think Joseph could understand? Lord, he could have said, Lord, me, I do nothing, Lord. Me own mom, brothers. My own brothers. Nice having you. Sorry, I have two names, my friend. Yeah. My own brothers took me. And threw me in a pit. I mean, see, they weren't strangers, my own brother. Threw me in a pit. Alright. Some foreigners by me took me in Egypt. And God was good to me. Do you know the Bible says, and God, the Lord was with Joseph?
Yes.
When he was in the pit, the Lord was there. And when he was in Egypt, God God blessed him and gave him a job to be a manager in Potiphar's house. So I can imagine Joseph, praise the Lord, we can make sure for a night. But joy comes in the morning, right? And rejoicing and jumping up. Then Potiphar's wife, he asked her eyes upon Joseph. Joseph maybe Joseph was a handsome one, right? Huh? And she wanted to have an affair with him. But like this man, I think the scripture recorded she was dear, she was after him. He would not watch. Thank God for people like Joseph. Amen? You see, if your faith and confidence is in God and His Word, when the storms of life come, you must stand the test. When you build your life upon the Word of God and prayer, when the storms of life come, you must stand the test. He didn't fall. They threw him in a pit. Sold him to Egypt. He was in Potiphar, accused wrongfully. They put him in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph. And even in that situation, the Lord brought him, Joseph, out of prison and made him what? Prime minister.
Yeah.
I believe that was the greatest country in the then known world, Egypt. So all those testings and all those trials and all those situations you're going through, God have a plan and purpose for you. Amen? All things are working together for good because you love the Lord and you call. I rather, as long as you love the Lord and call upon His purpose, all things are working for good. Amen? God is able to do extremely above that which we're able to think or ask. So the blessings of the Lord are for those who will believe God's word, confess God's word, and what? Act upon the word of God. Believe, confess, and act upon the word of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I said praise God. Thank you, Lord. When we obey the word of God, blessings is coming our way. But what will happen to people who knows what God wants them to do, but neglect or refuse to obey His word? We think happen to such people. When people know what the word of God says and willfully and deliberately go and sin against God, what happens based on the word of God? Alright, backslide really going backwards and good. According to Deuteronomy 28, 15 to 16 and 19, they will be coarse. It's a serious thing. You know, sometimes some people tell some people, man, like you coarse. Well, if you don't walk according to God, you know God word, don't walk according to it, you're a coarse person. Me, I don't want the coarse of God fall upon me, not me. They could be smitten with an incurable disease. Deuteronomy 28, 22 to 27. Now, not every time you get a sickness means that you're sin. You hear me? Sickness is in this world because of sin, but not because you got a sickness means that, you know, some people without proper knowledge, somebody gets some sickness and say, hey, You know why? You know why it happened to you? Because it's a sin in your life. Who said so? Who's you? You God? Huh? Sometimes things happen, amen? You're innocent. You don't do anything wrong or whatever the case may be. But these things happen. But thank God, God is able to deliver us from those things, amen? But if you deliberately sin, willful, and something comes when you get examined and find why this thing is happening. I'm not talking people who are not sinning, right? Good. Now, they could be demon-possessed. When you know God's word, you don't do what it says, you could be demon. And listen, I've seen that with my own eyes. A man like you, so sorry, Lord, as well, man should teach you by the man you demand. At least at that time, man. And like this man, he torn away, the keys of sword, Lord, he torn away from the Lord. They call you now. That, at that time, we used to actually, you know, when you're young, and you're in the Lord, if you're going to actually search people who got demon in them to cast them out. You're actually going to search people who got demon to cast them out in Jesus' name. This man, I never in all my life cast out so much a demon from a man. Demons? Oh, my. So you can be demon possessed. If you know God's word and disobey it, or must move on. When you pray, if you regard iniquity in the heart with the Lord here, know the Lord on here. They'll be deprived of the real joy, peace, satisfaction, fulfillment in life. And worst of all, the judgment of God can fall upon them. And in the life to come, when they die, where do you think they're going? You don't want to walk according to God's word, you don't want to do what God's word says. Now hear what the Lord tells us. Some people said, do you believe one saved all? Yes, I believe in one saved all this way, but conditionally. What Jesus said? He said in John 15:5, I am the what? Vine. And ye are the what? Branches. He that what? Abideth in. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. Without me, you can't do nothing. And what it means to abide in the Lord? 1 John 3:22-24, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandment and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And this is what the word says. And this is commandment that we believe in the name of his son Jesus and love one another. And he that keepeth his commandment, abideth or dwelleth in him and he in him. When we do what God tells us to do, we keep on abiding in the vine. Right? We continue to abide in the vine. But then verse 6, I think John 15:6. If a man abideth not in me, he's what? Cast forth as a vine and is what? Withered. You think that's from withered people in church?
Yes.
Generally speaking. When a person is withered, how can they give life to others? No. So we gotta keep abiding in Christ. Amen? When he shall appear. When he shall appear. Thank God those who are abiding in Christ will go to be with him, if that's a rapture or whenever. So now we need to keep abiding in the Lord. So, brethren, brother, sister, the Bible is a very straightforward book. A child could understand, a professor could understand it. If you obey God's word, if you obey the revealed word of God, he blesses you, make you prosperous. So if you don't reveal it, you suffer the consequences. God is a God of law. But I want to come to this part now. So we have the revealed will of God and the non-revealed will of God. So as I was saying, is there anything in the Bible that says thou shalt not smoke?
No.
Huh? No. I don't know about anything in the Bible that says. I mean, I read the Bible now about 3-4 times. And I never find where it says thou shalt not smoke. Right? And I have other things that the Bible doesn't reveal. But there's principle governing the non-revealed will of God. Number one. Alright, let's say you want to smoke, right? So the Bible didn't tell me I can't smoke. So I'm going to smoke and get my cigarette, right? Whatever it is. I don't know how the kind of had. I know Lango, what kind of had. I couldn't even remember. Not like that. I can't remember how to like that. So not Broadway. Right? In the time you had one in Broadway. Then I had a one just to smell a little bad. It's Tom, they call it. When they come on. Anyhow, so now, a brother, he asked a man of God, he said, well, should I smoke? Your brother didn't tell him yes or no. The Bible didn't say you shouldn't smoke, or you should smoke. He said, "Here what I want you to do for me. Every time you go to smoke, say, God, I'm doing this for your glory. I'm smoking for your glory." Right? So now, if you have this sacred thing in hand, and you want to smoke, right? Ask yourself, could this be done as unto the Lord? Colossians 3:23, whatsoever you do it unto the Lord, right? You know what the word says? Whatever you do, it goes unto the Lord, not unto men. So, Lord, I'm smoking unto you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God, right? Secondly, can it be done for the glory of God? 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us, whatever you do, you do all to the glory of God. Amen? So, Lord, I'm smoking for your glory, Lord. Thirdly, 1 Thessalonians 2:4 teaches us that our purpose is to please God, not people. You know what the word says? Lord, is smoking this evil, does it please you? Alright. Would it cause someone to stumble? 1 Corinthians 8:1-13. Now I did a little research on smoking. You know, smoking according to it damages like every single organ in your body. 4,000 people die every year in smoke related. Like problems. Sometimes watch some of them and see, you know, you ever see that advertisement? What? You will smoke up. So, when you're smoking, would that smoking would be a good example for others to do? Huh? Now, God the Bible tells you are the what? Temple of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that what? Wonder what it says? So, how would you like to? Now the Holy Ghost living in you is smoking out the Holy Ghost with one of the nicotine, which will damage your body instead of building it. And you're the temple and the garden, but the person destroy this temple, God will destroy them. Yeah. What about your conscience? The Bible speaks in Acts 22:1 about having a good conscience. Good conscience. Now, do you have a good conscience? A conscience void of offense. Remember when the people brought the woman to Jesus and they were actually condemned her. This woman should be stoned to death. Jesus said, which of you don't have any sin? Tell for us. And they're being convicted by what? Their own conscience, because some of them are like doing the same thing. So when you're going to do something, right, ask yourself, what is my conscience telling me? Huh? Is my conscience free? I know we used to sing a song or something like this. If your conscience sets you free, pray on. You know the chorus? Mm-hmm. So what if our conscience is setting us free? What is your conscience saying to you? All right, I use the word rooster because in Guyana we use another word. I'm all meant to pray, right? Like he meant to pray. And when he pray, he hear rooster crowing. Your conscience like telling. It's kind of like his conscience bring back that rooster, like he keeps somebody rooster, right? So he's going to put in the rooster. Let me tell you, your conscience is a built-in something God put within you that tells you when you're right and when you're wrong. Amen? And this is one of the most tormented things, because I know I had the problem with it. One of the most tormented things in this world is to have a troubled conscience, a condemning. But if you can't eat properly, you can't sleep properly, Amen. You can't relate to nobody because your conscience bothering you.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Now don't start that. You listen, that you see when your conscience bothering you is a good thing, not a bad thing. Once your conscience bothering you, it's a good thing, not a bad thing. It means your conscience is working.
Yes.
Amen? Because I'm telling you when you're wrong and telling you when you're right. It's a good thing when your conscience working. Not a bad thing. We know some people, you could kill out the voice of your conscience. People had their conscience become seared as with a hot iron. In other words, they do the thing over and over. And, the first time you do the thing, you feel so bad, which is a good thing. The second time you're doing it, you continue doing it. So after time, you don't feel it anymore. That's why I wonder, how could a man take a knife and punch it to somebody? You ain't got conscience. How they interfere with little children with their conscience? No, because many of them, maybe they have a seared conscience.
Yes, amen.
Yeah? Like the part of them which make them human is not functioning anymore. Conscience. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So my conscience telling you about whatever you're doing. The Bible reveals what your conscience telling you. Listen, certain things I dare not think about doing. The conscience will bother me so much here. At night time when I wake up and come from my mind, then if I'm gonna pray, that problem. That's why if me and anybody get any misunderstanding, who going to get misunderstanding now? I gonna tell them, listen. I apologize to you, I'm sorry, please forgive me whatever the case, because I want to know the conscience clear. Amen?
Yeah.
Alright. Does the Holy Spirit have a voice? Does he speak to us?
Yeah.
Does the Holy Spirit speak?
Yeah.
Yes. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 29, the Spirit spoke to Philip and said, go join yourself to the chariot. Amen? Great thing God's Spirit is living. Your body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. And God's Spirit is inside. God could speak to you and tell you some things right and wrong. I know long ago, I know it happened up to now. Some things people didn't have to tell us when they're right. Like we know it from inside. We know it. Huh? We know it was wrong. And thank God for that knowledge. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the conscience. Now does the Spirit of God bear witness with our spirit? Does the Spirit of God bear witness with our spirit?
Yes.
Does the Spirit of God lead us? But to as many that are what? Led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. Amen?
Amen.
And thank God for the Lord. Thank God for the conscience that they have given us. Thank God for all the good things they have given to us. Amen?
Amen.
Good. Now when something becomes right or wrong in relation to certain things, we have the Bible. Nobody touch that. Anytime you go against that, you're wrong. If you go against it, you're right. Amen? But certain things the Bible doesn't talk about. So what happened now? We as a church, that's why everybody who's here, we make some rules. For example, we have the worship group and the singers and whoever. We have some rules that are laid down there, right? Then everybody agreed to it who is in the worship group and in the music group. Then everybody agreed to it.
Yes.
So once you agree to it, you're supposed to stick to it. When the scripture says, I think the other part of the scripture, let you what?
Yes,
yes, yes, and let you know we know. Amen? And once you agree to the laws that we make around us now, right, we're supposed to keep the laws. Isn't that so? Of course, I have exceptional cases, like we're starting by fire, we're passing, going around through the red light because it's an emergency, right? Now, once you make those laws, you're supposed to keep the law. If you can't come, inform the proper authority. Because you make the law. I make the law, we make the law, so we're supposed to stick to the law. That's our conscience by battle us. Huh? Everybody gets it quiet now.
It's true.
Yeah, man.
Good. So we come now to church. And I want to establish this thing now. We have certain amount of time, God's willing, that we would like the service to run and get going and whatever, whatever, right? We start about 10, about 12:30. God's willing, we like to close out by that time. Amen? Amen? So we have 2.5 hours. Praise the Lord. That's on Sunday. On Wednesday, we have just an hour of Bible study. On Friday, we have just an hour of prayer. Amen? The artist is did sing. Some of the midweek services are not properly attended. So one brother, Robin in particular, he said, why we don't put the two together? So what do you think? They have some churches that they're doing that right now, right? Right? Pastor Adams. I know what my friend that comes here, Pastor Chicho, they have done that. Right? Because if we say that we can come and we don't come, we're violating the principle that we laid out. Right? Isn't that so? Some people just make a gallant effort to be here, whether they come from work or whatever, the time they still come. They just come. While others, maybe can't come because of good reason, and some could come and they don't come. Now that is the problem. So what lie think we should be down here now? We think we should. Yeah, to be honest, generally speaking, me got a problem with the Lord and things they learn. When it comes to God, me don't make joke with God. I don't play the fool with God. And I'm just saying this to let you know, right? I already read my Bible. I already listen to the whatever. I already pray for 3 1/4 hours before nearly every day this happen. I just give out tracts. If I got to talk, people don't talk. I ain't got a problem with God and things of God. God help me. I want you to be helped also. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
When you get help, you freely receive, you should what? Freely give to others. Good? So, if I want to say, well, I don't want to go to church, and I'm done. But I can't think about myself. I got to think about others also. Isn't that so? Come on, isn't that so?
Yes.
We need to know the Word of God. That's why I take some time to teach you the Word of God. We need to be a praying people. When it comes to fellowship, nearly as every day now, me and my wife have got fellowship. Where the 2 and 3 gather, then what the Lord says, where the 2 and 3 gather, there I am in the midst. Every single day we got fellowship. Well, only Sunday, because Sunday we got fellowship in church, right? On Monday or Saturday, we got fellowship. We got the Bible, or rather, we got the devotion or whatever. We pray, and that's it. Every single day. And when I come to church, we got fellowship here too. But not everybody may be reached to that kind of stage. Some people need help. So you got to hold your hand and bring them along. Isn't that so? Come on, isn't that so? You got to hold your hand and bring them along. So I'm saying if we establish something as a people, as a church, let's trust God. I'm not saying on every occasion it might be so. If we say we start at 10, we start at 10. Amen? And everybody trust the Lord to be here for 10. Because some people don't come in midweek. Isn't that so?
Yes.
Praise the Lord, some people don't come. When we come to listen, we come to reach out to the Lord, then we have, I need a certain amount of time so I can minister to people. Good? I need a certain amount of time so I can minister to you. I pray for this church every single day. Every single day I pray for this church. I pray in the spirit and tongues. And we need help. I just don't want people coming and they have problems, they have need and situation, and then the problem is not solved and the needs are not supplied. Then something in work in some way. If you have a problem, your problem is supposed to be solved. If you have need, the need is supposed to be supplied. Isn't that so?
Amen.
Come on, isn't that so? Why are you coming to church? What is the purpose of coming to church? We praise God and worship God and all about God. Isn't God the same God, the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Amen.
People need to be saved. We need to preach and teach the Word of God and trust God. The Lord saved people. We can't save them, but God could save them. People need to be healed. We got to trust God that God heal them. Isn't that so? They need to be delivered. That demon spirit in them, they need to be delivered. And some people, they might have spirit in them, not in their spirit, but in their body, they need deliverance. They got the spirit in the house, so the spirit needs to get out the house. In other words, get in their body somewhere or another. And those spirits need to come out. What do you think one of the things that drive out the evil spirit? One of the things that drive out the evil spirits. Do you know this one? Presence of God. The Word of God is one too. Word of God is one. When you start worshiping the presence of God come upon you, learn to reach out. Learn to flow. Deliverance will come like that. I said deliverance will come like that.
Amen.
Healing can come like that. Praise the Lord. So let's, by the grace of God, trust God not only to come to church and hear a good sermon and say, oh, we had a wonderful sermon. No, let's trust God. We come to church and things will happen. I make sure I serve the Lord. Almost every one of my prayers, I say everyone there because I still believe in God, everyone will be answered. All my needs be supplied. All my problems are being solved. Guys, serving God. And what can happen to you? Not the same God you're serving to? I said, not the same God you're serving to?
Amen.
Supposed to happen to. We gotta learn to contact God for ourselves. Me, I ain't got no more privilege than you. I ain't got more rights than you to God. All of us got the same rights and same privilege. Amen?
Amen.
So when we come to war what the Bible says, confess your fault and pray. How much we go and pray for one now? How much we pray for one another? Sometimes we come to church and we need to lay hands for one another, pray for one another. Amen? We don't know people's situation in their life. Sometimes I can't tell the Holy Spirit when to give me things and when not to give me things, beginning, ending, or the last. If the Holy Spirit gotta give me, and then I can talk to you and whatever, right? Maybe some people want to say, I have a word for everybody. I ain't got a word for everybody. It's as the Spirit gives the word that I can give you, amen? The Spirit didn't give me a word I can't give you. I might give you me words, but not the Spirit word. Amen?
Amen.
And sometimes when you're praying with people, you get a hold of them. Some of their situation might be dismal. Some of their situation might be difficult. Because they might have a spirit in them, they don't even know it. You need to get out of them. They might have problems and situations, you need to get out of them. And the only way the only time they can have that breakthrough is when they come to the house of the Lord and they worship and they praise and they glorify the Lord. What I'm saying to all of us, and I'm making myself available now as your minister. And I want to ask the ministers also and the elders, make yourself available so we can minister to these people that are in this church. This is our responsibility. I said, this is our responsibility. You see a young girl or whatever, our older folk and they need some help, go and pray with them. Call them up, amen? Talk to them. It's how best we can help them. Praise the Lord. So as I pray and as we pray together and as we look to the Lord to bring deliverance, right? As we look to the Lord to bring deliverance. Whom the Son set free shall be what?
Free
indeed. So as we minister and wait upon the Lord, remember we have a cutoff time, right? About 12:30. Sometime, God's willing, we may go over, we may not go over, whatever the case will be. It all depends upon the situation. Amen? It all depends on the situation. If I pray with this brother and I sense that sometimes people don't get through right away. You ever pray a whole night? You ever pray a whole night before you get? You ever pray sometimes for a long period of time and then you get through? Huh? Sometimes it don't happen right away. We can't tell God when to move in the beginning, the ending, or the middle of the service. God is sovereign. He moves whenever He wants to move, right? And if the Lord, if you find even the worship and those who come, you feel the Spirit of God just leading you to minister? Minister! Who you think is in charge? Who you think is in charge of the service? Not the pastor, the Holy Spirit, amen? Then we can examine this by looking at the Holy Spirit. Something where you're worshiping the Spirit of God. Say, worship on a little longer because that thing might be helping somebody. Everybody understand what I'm saying? So those who need help, I intend by God's help to spend time with you and pray for you until you get your breakthrough. Whenever that is or whatever. If I have to pray on, I pray on. Those who have to go and reach the authority will go. Praise the Lord. Amen? Those who have to go will go. But if somebody really need help, you got to be willing to make the sacrifice. The people got to be willing to make the sacrifice, and you got to be willing to make the sacrifice to help those people who might be in dire need of situation in their life. Now, some people don't come to prayer meetings, they go blame us when they pray for them. They don't come. There's only some people who come. Wednesday, they don't come. Right? So, let us be encouraged. And let us consider one another. I think scripture records, you must provoke one another to good works. Amen? No, let's only think about ourselves. Don't have to think about it. I can say, I don't get what it's supposed to get from you. Right? I don't get a sleep or something. I can't think about myself. Right? I got to think about others too. I got to think about you and other people that might need help. Amen? Everybody get what I'm trying to say?
Amen.
And if you have a problem and a situation you find in your life, you call pastor. If maybe you're praying or whatever, and you just left a message, God's going to get back to you. I said, get back to you. Yeah. And we're going to talk to you, we're going to pray to you, or some kind of thing will happen. If I can't reach you in church, I've got to reach you somewhere, I'll reach you by phone. Thank God for modern technology, man. So we can get what we need to get. So I'm about to finish here now. We're going to worship. And when we worship, and I want everybody to just forget about yourself, concentrate on the Lord and what? Worship Him. Amen? So I want you to consider, maybe I'm going to ask you this time. If we decide to have this service, maybe Wednesday, we decide to have Bible study and prayer meeting together, we try to work it out in such a way that at least people could come. All right? Everybody could come and we could do what we got to do.